Harry awoke next morning feeling slightly dazed and confused by a series of dreams in which Ron had chased him with a beater's bat. But by midday, he would have happily exchanged the dream Ron for the real one, who was not only cold-shouldering Ginny and Dean, but also treating a hurt and bewildered Hermione with an icy, sneering indifference. What was more, Ron seemed to have become, overnight, as touchy and ready to lash out as the average blast-ended Scroot. Harry spent the day attempting to keep the peace between Ron and Hermione with no success. Finally, Hermione departed for bed in high dudgeon, and Ron stalked off to the boys' dormitory after swearing angrily at several frightened first-years for looking at him. To Harry's dismay, Ron's new aggression did not wear off over the next few days. Worse still, it coincided with an even deeper dip in his keeping skills, which made him still more aggressive, so that during the final Quidditch practice before Saturday's match, he failed to save every single goal the chasers aimed at him, but bellowed at everybody so much that he reduced Demelza Robbins to tears.
"You shut up and leave her alone!"
shouted Peeks, who was about two-thirds Ron's height, though admittedly carrying a heavy bat.
"Enough!"
bellowed Harry, who had seen Ginny glowering in Ron's direction and, remembering her reputation as an accomplished caster of the bat bogey hex, soared over to intervene before things got out of hand. "Peeks, go and pack up the bludgers. Demelza, pull yourself together. You played really well today. Ron," he waited until the rest of the team were out of earshot before saying it, "you're my best mate, but carry on treating the rest of them like this and I'm going to kick you off the team." He really thought for a moment that Ron might hit him, but then something much worse happened. Ron seemed to sag on his broom. All the fight went out of him, and he said, "I resign. I'm pathetic."
"You're not pathetic!"
"And you're not resigning," said Harry fiercely, seizing Ron by the front of his robes.
"You can save anything when you're on form. It's a mental problem you've got."
"You calling me mental?"
"Yeah, maybe I am."
They glared at each other for a moment. Then Ron shook his head wearily.
"I know you haven't got any time to find another keeper, so I'll play tomorrow. But if we lose, and we will, I'm taking myself off the team."
Nothing Harry said made any difference. He tried boosting Ron's confidence all through dinner, but Ron was too busy being grumpy and surly with Hermione to notice. Harry persisted in the common room that evening, but his assertion that the whole team would be devastated if Ron left was somewhat undermined by the fact that the rest of the team was sitting in a huddle in a distant corner, clearly muttering about Ron and casting him nasty looks. Finally, Harry tried getting angry again in the hope of provoking Ron into a defiant and hopefully goal-saving attitude, but this strategy did not appear to work any better than encouragement. Ron went to bed as dejected and hopeless as ever. Harry lay awake for a very long time in the darkness. He did not want to lose the upcoming match. Not only was it his first as captain, but he was determined to beat Draco Malfoy at Quidditch, even if he could not yet prove his suspicions about him. Yet if Ron played as he had done in the last few practices, their chances of winning were very slim. If only there was something he could do to make Ron pull himself together, make him play at the top of his form, something that would ensure that Ron had a really good day. And the answer came to Harry in one sudden, glorious stroke of inspiration. Breakfast was the usual excitable affair next morning. The Slytherins hissed and booed loudly as every member of the Gryffindor team entered the Great Hall. Harry glanced at the ceiling and saw a clear, pale blue sky, a good omen. The Gryffindor table, a solid mass of red and gold, cheered as Harry and Ron approached. Harry grinned and waved. Ron grimaced weakly and shook his head.
"Cheer up, Ron," called Lavender. "I know you'll be brilliant."
Ron ignored her. "Tea?" Harry asked him. "Coffee? Pumpkin juice?"
"Anything,"
said Ron glumly, taking a moody bite of toast. A few minutes later, Hermione, who had become so tired of Ron's recent unpleasant behavior that she had not come down to breakfast with them, paused on her way up the table.
"How are you both feeling?"
she asked tentatively, her eyes on the back of Ron's head. Fine, said Harry, who was concentrating on handing Ron a glass of pumpkin juice. There you go, Ron. Drink up. Ron had just raised the glass to his lips when Hermione spoke sharply.
Don't drink that, Ron!
Both Harry and Ron looked up at her.
Why not? Said Ron.
Hermione was now staring at Harry as though she could not believe her eyes.
You just put something in that drink.
Excuse me? Said Harry.
You heard me. I saw you. You just tipped something into Ron's drink. You've got the bottle in your hand right now.
I don't know what you're talking about,
said Harry, stowing the little bottle hastily in his pocket.
Ron, I warn you, don't drink it,
Hermione said again, alarmed. But Ron picked up the glass, drained it in one gulp, and said,
Stop bossing me around, Hermione.
She looked scandalized. Bending low so that only Harry could hear her, she hissed,
You should be expelled for that. I'd never have believed it of you, Harry.
Hark, who's talking?
He whispered back.
Confounded anyone lately?
She stormed up the table away from them. Harry watched her go without regret. Hermione had never really understood what a serious business Quidditch was. He then looked around at Ron, who was smacking his lips.
Nearly time, said Harry blithely.
The frosty grass crunched underfoot as they strode down to the stadium.